Welcome to the KAJO Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. We appreciate your ears this morning. If you want to make a telephone call a little bit later, we welcome those here after the top of the hour news. But if you want to jot the phone number down now, it's 541-472-1270. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back to your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live and let you air your question or comment to our guest today. Our guest today from the Grants Pass City Council, Councilors Rob Bell and Joel King. And gentlemen, welcome to the microphones of KAJO Radio. Thank you very much for joining us this Tuesday morning.
Thanks for having us, Chuck.
It's a great sense of community that you promote and facilitate, Chuck, and I'm happy to be a part of it.
Okay, check's in the mail. thank you very much. We do appreciate that. And quite frankly, that's what we try to do here. That's the goal.
Yeah.
In the meantime, though, let's get down to business. And I have just one question to start things off here, and I don't think it'll take very long, but the President of the United States recently signed an executive order removing the unhoused from our streets. Does that have any impact at all in Grants Pass?
It looks like it might have some funding possibilities. It remains to be seen. We got a briefing on it yesterday. There's a lot of unknowns still, so it'll shake out, and we'll do the best we can do with it.
When I first read about that, it occurred to me that there could be funding for treatment beds and things of that nature, but that could take years to ramp up. You've got to train a whole workforce. You've got to, the funding first has to come through, and that, you know, at the speed of government, who knows how long that'll take. And then you've got to train a workforce and come up with facilities. So it could, if it's going to do anything, it could be years before we get the benefits. That was my belief.
So there may be some funding associated with that, and that's something that I wasn't aware of.
That's the hope. And it may not be even direct to, and even if it's not direct to the city or the county, it could be where our local nonprofits have access to more funding. That's a possibility also.
Oh, all right. Well, we'll go on from there. That's just one that I wanted to get out of the way here first thing this morning. In the meantime, and I know we dealt with a pretty long meeting yesterday afternoon, the workshop, and what, 3.5 hours, 4 hours, something like that, gentlemen?
4.5 plus.
Yeah. 4.5 plus, okay, and we'll get to that in a moment. In the meantime, what are your constituents talking to you about right now? Is it still the homeless situation? What's on their minds?
I would say front and center, you know, every day for everybody that drives down 6th Street or anywhere in town is still the homeless situation. Mm-hmm. Because as of yet, we're kind of at a plateau. And, you know, we're not seeing any progress, and we're not going backwards, and we don't have any new lawsuits.
And, well, that's a good thing.
And we're hopefully finishing up negotiations very soon, hopefully this month, the negotiations to remove the injunction and put the last lawsuit behind us. So it's kind of a plateau, but those inside, council and staff, know that we're moving forward, but from the public's perspective, we're at a plateau. So they're still... They are absolutely still concerned with the homeless.
Moving forward at the government gate.
Right.
Yes, okay.
Well, it's important that people know that we got a plan, that it's a good plan, and that it appears to be working, and that the future is brighter than what the past has been.
Oh, well, that's certainly good news. Now, negotiations ongoing to remove the injunction that we're under, and a lot of it has been cleared up and to make it at least a little more livable than it is had been earlier. Do we see a conclusion to those negotiations coming soon? Is there a line drawn in the sand here? Or what are we looking at in the calendar? And can you project what's going to happen?
I see no reason now why the negotiations shouldn't be finished this month. We kind of thought it was going to be last month, but we're really very, very close to the finish line. It's basically negotiating with the lawyers that from DRO, Disability Rights Oregon, and it seems like we've just got a couple of fairly minor sticking points at this point.
All right, so that's good news, progress being made there. Once that is removed, how does that affect the homeless situation currently with all of the resting sites that we have?
Well, immediately, it doesn't affect the resting sites, but it does get us our parks back. And that's very big in the public.
And that's all the parks.
That's all the parks. All the parks? All of them? Yeah.
Yes.
And so that's a really, you know, that will be really big for the public, and it's really big for the counselors, and it's really big for everybody. So, but that's our next step. And then Beyond that, as far as the resting sites, we have to move into our next phase, which everyone knows about the grant opportunity that the council put out, and we did get applications back and so forth. But that would be the next step. So first step is getting rid of the injunction, which would give us our parks back. Then the next step is moving forward to be able to move away from the camp situation that we have, and that's going to be a little bit further in the future.
That was my next question, is how many applications do we have for that grant money right now, which is, what, about $1.5 million?
I'm not the contracting officer, but it's more than one, more than two, more than three. And so there's several applications in. Americans are like to help other people, and when there's money involved, they even like to help them more. But I also have to take a step back, though, in the strategy. We have a four-pronged strategy for dealing with the unsheltered. One is housing, affordable housing. Two is accountability. And we talked a little bit about that yesterday with the police and perhaps a city municipal court subject coming up. Third is social services, which would be things like the grant. And, what's the fourth one? I had a brain fart. I'll remember it here. Hang on. I should have wrote them down.
We have about 45 minutes left, so this
okay.
If it comes back, because there's just lots there to talk about, and more than that also. So,
yeah. But it's four pronged. It's not just one. It's not just the law. If we focus on the lawsuit, that's just a legal action.
So we have more. We have certainly more than three applications for that grant money to create a managed housing situation for about 150 transients or homeless. That's the goal here.
Right.
And do we have certain criteria laid out that these applications must meet?
Yes.
Can we review those?
Can we review those here?
Sure.
I don't have a copy of them with me. The main one, what the lawsuit defined for us is what is reasonable, and that's 150 beds. Which is interesting, you know. When people start talking through their lawyers, strange things happen rather than directly to each other. But anyway, that is what is reasonable, is 150 beds. So that is part of the criteria. And, of course, money is part of the criteria. And collaboration with other nonprofits, because one nonprofit doesn't have, at least at the present time, the full capacity to do what is needed, and so you need it, nor is it desirable. So you want a coalition of nonprofits to handle any situation that comes up with the unsheltered.
All right. Well, moving ahead, do we have a timeline? You say we've got all of these applications now. What's it?
That was another criteria. How soon can you get it operating?
Right. And how soon can we, well, in order to get it operating, you've got to have approval of the council. How far is that away from being considered?
We got plans. When it happens, it happens. But I would say sooner rather than later.
All right. Sooner being before Christmas? Sooner being before November?
Possibly. Possibly not.
All right. So we go ahead.
Now, my sense as far as council making a decision, I think, is what Chuck is asking.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so council making a decision will likely come this month.
Oh, yeah, we'll make a decision this month. Yeah. I'm talking about it being operational.
All right. No, I'm talking about the point where they can start making it operational.
Yeah.
And from that point on, everything should get better.
I don't know. I'm not building it. I'm not I'm one council person, but I would say it would be reasonable to have something around the first of the year.
Have both of you seen all of the applications?
No.
Okay, all right. So so I won't ask for any more details there if we haven't seen. How are they going through? What is the process that they're going through right now? And once, what will city staff bring the best applications back to council? Is that the way it's going to work?
So the city staff will bring back the best application. There'll be questions and answers. Before they do that, they went back and asked some clarifying questions of all the applicants and checking references. it's kind of like a job interview, you know, like you're filling a job. So checking things out on paper, make sure that they're accurate, and see what the past work experience has been with the organization. So those criteria and the references will be combined to give a recommendation, and then the council can ask questions, whatever they want.
Okay, so it's moving pretty quickly in terms of government action here. I know the constituents out there certainly appreciate seeing movement on the situation that they've been dealing with for years and years and years. Let's see, on your yesterday, a lot of time was taken up with funding public safety. Chief Hensman wants, I think, 5 additional officers. The fire department wants an additional 6 officers. And the key here is finding a way to pay for that and adding another 11 officers at that level. What are we talking, at least $1 million extra?
I generally, and yesterday I used this figure, and no one corrected me. They seem to agree that it's roughly $200,000 a year per officer or per firefighter, all in.
So a little over a million.
Salary, benefit, et cetera, is roughly $200,000. Well, if we were to do the 10 or 11 positions.
Oh, that's $2 million.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's $2 million.
$2 million. And I know it's a surprising figure, and it would surprise me always, but by the time you figure all in, it's close to $200,000 per, on an average. Now, that may not be for entry level, you know, firefighters and police officers, but it's close to it.
All right. So we're talking a couple of $1 million, and now you've got to find that $2 million. There was talk about extra taxation, extra fees being passed along, but the council seemed opposed to raising any extra money. Where are you going to find that money, or is there a place to find it? Is it there somewhere?
Well, what we talked about yesterday was that, you know, every year there is an every budget, you know, every household or city or whatever, we've got an ending fund. We have an amount that's left over at the end of the year. And for years, our internal policy was we wanted to have 35% to 40% as a reserve. And last year, council reduced that amount. But nonetheless, our ending fund balance was still fairly substantial. So the discussion yesterday really was, you know, why do we have such a large ending fund balance? What are the factors that enter into that? Can we just shoot for less of a surplus at the end of the year and spend that money in a place where it's desperately needed right now, which is police and firefighters? And that was really the gist of our discussion. It was either that or raise more funds somewhere else. We took the position yesterday, that it would probably be in the public's best interest to, you know, shoot for having less of an ending balance, so to speak, and spend the money where it's needed, which is police and fire.
Yeah, was it 25% or $25 million that you reduced debt reserve fund to?
25%.
25%.
The other thing I think that's important is there's always uncertainty when you're dealing with budgets and projected revenues and projected expenses. So we want to have it be an incremental approach and monitor. And so we're not going to hire everybody the first year. We're going to hire some of them, and we're going to see what our year-end balance looks like, and we'll make good decisions from there based on better information.
And, you know, and the hard part for many is that, you know, our chief financial officer, it's his job to keep us safe, and it's his job to keep us solvent.
Yes.
And the last thing he wants on his resume is Grants Pass went belly up on his watch. So, you know, he's given us his best advice as far as what he would do from a conservative financial perspective. And then we're saying, well, real world, we've had pretty significant ending fund balances for the last decade. There must be a way to kind of bridge that gap and meet somewhere in the middle.
All right. Let's talk about public safety now. Chief Hensman wants an additional 5 officers. Do we have any idea what the – should he have all of those 5 instantly, what kind of effect would the public see on the streets? Well, has he given you any indication?
That's a great question. And Councilor Nicholas asked that direct question of him yesterday. And I'm frankly not sure exactly what his answer was. And I'm going to ask him to clarify, because we were hoping that, yeah, okay, well, if we give you X number of extra officers, what is the public going to see? And, you know, we have other parts of the criminal justice system here, whether it's the DA and the jail capacity and all those things. And we hear all the time that that is kind of the bottleneck sometimes when we have the catch and release. Our officers are doing a good job taking evildoers off the street, and then they're right back on the street. So it's a really complex issue, but that's a great question. What can the public expect if we spend more? And I want to get a better answer than what we got yesterday.
Well, and the other thing that plays into that is overtime and mm-hmm. burnout. People leave. We've had several people go to the Eagle Point, Central Point, Medford. Our recruitment has been challenging, though the city has done a fairly good job of it recently. Working 7 days a week, having been there and done that, there's a limit to what that can be. The other thing is we got people that are acting socially irresponsible towards other people, towards their peers, and there's no punishment isn't the right word. There's no consequence for that, and that leads to or very little consequence. And so I behave irresponsibly towards you. There's no consequence for me. What does that tell me?
All right, that means it's all right to go ahead and do it again.
Yeah.
Okay, and we know that more officers is not just the answer to that revolving door at the police station.
Right.
So, you know, to get there's going to be an effect that the public is not going to see directly, and it was explained pretty well yesterday. For instance, our firefighters apparently per year, each firefighter is doing 400 hours a year of overtime. And there's a policy now that they call
400 hours a year?
A year.
Wow.
In overtime,
okay.
which is extremely expensive, obviously, to taxpayers. But the thing was, too, is that the city manager defined yesterday what the term forced callbacks mean. What that means is if, you know, a firefighter thinks he's got a day off and or maybe he's on vacation, but because we are staffed so thin and someone gets injured on the job, now we have nobody or we have one person at a firehouse. Well, they force some of these guys to come back in and take overtime that they don't necessarily want. Well, that causes a lot of stress, of course, physically, mentally, with their families. And so that affects recruitment and retention and so forth. So that's not something that the public's likely to see, but it's likely long term to have benefits to the morale and the health of our public safety. So that's part of why we need the extra manpower.
And Rob, correct me if I'm wrong, but if I remember correctly yesterday, funding the extra positions would actually save about $200,000 to $300,000 worth of overtime.
If overtime, if we funded those 13 positions?
That was just fire.
Just 11. Okay.
It would be more if you called, please.
Yeah, fire was asking for 6. Now I know that the when that fire bell goes off and they roll, they had 2 men in each unit. That's a third below what staffing is really called for in this situation. So would that additional 6 officers alleviate that? Do we know?
Yes. Well, and the other thing is you'd have, it's a fluid situation, so you get somebody hurt or somebody's on vacation or whatever. It eliminates the callback. At least you're going to have 2 without question, and most of the time you'd have 3. It's, but in the incremental approach, that's not going to happen the first year because it's yet to be determined what the incremental approach looks like, but we're not going to hire all of them at once. We're going to hire, yet to be determined, but let's say 50% and see what the effect is on the budget and then go from
is
there.
Essentially what the system will absorb.
Yeah, and a plan that we had discussed last year or 2 years ago, I can't remember. If we were to have, let's say, 3 firefighters on the truck at Parkway, because that one actually, they deploy out of that station all over the city. But if we were to have 3 there, and even if we remain, you know, with 2 at the other 2 stations, if somebody at the other 2 stations was injured or out or whatever, the third person from Parkway could then fill in at one of the other stations. So, which again would prevent overtime and prevent a forced callback situation. So even at a very modest increase of manpower, it should have an effect system wide to some degree. That's I believe the hope of the fire chief and the council.
And this is not overhead. These are worker bees. This is not overhead. This is boots on the ground.
Yeah. All right. Good. Good. It's people like the boots on the ground. We're going to continue with our city councilors here right after this important message.
Big news from South.
Welcome back, Tuesday Talk Show in Progress. We have about 7 minutes left before the top of the hour break. In the meantime, though, City Councilors Rob Pell and Joel King are in with us, and we've been talking about, of course, a couple of favorite topics, public safety and the homeless situation here. We're really on public safety right now, and we just alluded to the fact just real briefly in that first segment about the revolving door and people arrested, and they're out in a few hours. And some of that could be alleviated, we understand, with the appointment of a city court, a magistrate. What is the situation there? Is the council considering something like this? And how would that affect what we're seeing happen on the streets?
So it's on an upcoming agenda item, so it's to be determined. Other cities in Southwest Oregon have it. Ashland has it. I believe Medford has it. Roseburg, I'm not sure. They're generally self-supporting. Therefore, relatively minor offenses that the other court that we have won't deal with. And so it'll allow us to have some accountability to each other on how we treat each other.
That would be more accountability and probably would alleviate the heavy load on the DA's office. Is that part of the idea?
Well, right now the heavy load on the DA's office is by ignoring the smaller offenses. So they won't take those up, and you can understand why, because you know you got a murder or you got a rape or you got sexual abuse or whatever. You're not going to
takes a daily process of decisions to see who stays and who goes.
Yeah, and you're not going to take up a case of somebody urinating on the sidewalk. So it gives the flexibility to hold us each other more accountable by the law. And be self-supporting.
Is a district attorney in favor of something like this? Have you had input?
No. I haven't had any input. I assume that they would, but I haven't had any. I haven't had any negative input either.
Hmm. Well, what would it take to institute a city court?
Well, that's why we're going to talk about it. You would have to have a judge. You'd have to have a place to meet. You'd have to have records. And you'd have to have people that come, and you'd have to have some kind of defense for the people that are being charged with things.
So the short answer, Chuck, is money is what it would take.
Lots of money.
At least some. Mm-hmm. And who knows what it would bring in fines and so forth. But some funding source is going to be needed, whether or not that could be procured from somewhere else, federal or state level. I don't know the answer to that, but that's a great, you know, something we need to find out.
A lot of cities have it be self-supporting, and other cities don't. So that's why we're going to have a workshop on it and see what's going on.
Well, the goal would be self-supporting. There's still startup money that would be significant.
Exactly. And the danger of self-supporting, of course, is that, well, you know, you're going to have a lot of you need guilty verdicts right away if we got to collect the money. So, you know, you don't want to be in that situation.
The judge gets paid. He's got his levy fines.
Exactly.
You don't want that incentive, that's for sure.
All right. I really wouldn't see any of our local people acting as judges doing that. However, you never know when money's involved.
Yes.
At any rate, so that's just on a future agenda, so we'll see that pop up. How soon do we know?
Within the next 6 months.
Within the next 6 months. All right, well, that's one that we'll be looking for. Anything else on your agenda, gentlemen, that we haven't locked in on yet?
As far as, you know, really the important stuff, you know, we've got a water rate discussion, of course, coming up. And I think when we heard that we lost the $50 million grant, we were all concerned that water rates are going to double. Well, that's not going to happen. So, but we're going to get more of a discussion on that, the whatever adjustments are required. And that's really important to, I think, everybody in the city. Beyond that, I mean, I think you hit the high points because as far as the homeless grant goes and as far as public safety funding, and those are the things that I think people are really concerned with. And the water rates. I think people are very concerned with that as well.
One of the things we're going to look at starting Wednesday was the Developmental Code Review Task Force to look at our code and see what we can do. It's part of the four-pronged thing of dealing with unhoused and affordable housing, whereas the code what changes can be made that are reasonable and cost what needs to be changed so it doesn't cost as much money to build.
All right, and so we don't draw another lawsuit or injunction.
Oh, people can do that all the time. That's out of our control.
And we're
just trying to do the best we can do.
We're appointing members to that the Code Committee Task Force Wednesday night, so that's moving along. And I know the building community is pretty excited about that.
You have plenty of applicants.
We have many applicants. Some of the slots, there's only one, so obviously they'll be chosen. And a few of the slots, there's at least three applicants.
Are there specific criteria for those slots?
Yeah, absolutely. That'd be like a residential builder, a commercial builder. I'm trying to remember some of the other slots, but
available on the city's website, I assume.
Yeah, and it's people that are and the application deadline is over. You know, we've got the applicants that we have. These are and I looked at the applicants last night, and there's people with a tremendous amount of experience who are true experts in this field, some of the applicants. So we're going to end up with a good product, I bet.
All right, gentlemen, want to thank you very much. So far, so good here for this Tuesday talk show. We're going to take a little break here. We'll be back right after the news. In the meantime, I want to remind you, you're listening to KAJO, Grants Pass, Oregon. We're having a... The forecast for Grants Pass and surrounding areas today, sunny skies with a high near 91 and an afternoon breeze. Should be partly cloudy tonight, low around 57 with that evening breeze. Mostly sunny tomorrow, high should be near 88. Also 88 tomorrow under mostly sunny skies. And then make that Thursday, and on Friday it's sunny with a high near 95. Grants Pass is high yesterday, 88, the overnight low, 54. Sunset this evening at 8:28, will reappear tomorrow morning at 6:11. Rogue River level this morning, flowing at 1.74 feet, holding pretty steady, flowing at a rate of 1,930 cubic feet a second, with a Nephling metric turbidity unit reading of 2, and a water temperature of 64 degrees. 71 degrees here at the studios of KAJO, under clear blue skies here in South Grants Pass, where this news and weather brought to you by Clouser Drilling. Welcome back. Tuesday talk show, ladies and gentlemen. Your phone calls are invited right now. The phone lines are open. It's 541-472-1270. And once you hear the sound of the radio coming back through your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live and let you air your question or comment to our guest. And our guest today, Grants Pass City Councilors Rob Pell and Joel King, in studio with us today. Lots of things to talk about. First of all, is the Committee on Public Art unhappy with you guys right now?
You know, they're doing the best they can do, and we're doing the same. It is what it is. It's always hard for government to say no. It wasn't a big amount, and they do good work.
No question. We're certainly not putting any question mark on them. But at the same time, we're trying to find an extra $2 million to fund public safety. Phone rang. Lost my train of thought.
That's okay. Let me pick it up for you.
Okay.
So right now we got three things on the agenda that are going to cost money. And one thing we didn't talk about, it's on the future agenda, is the non-bargaining compensation classification, wages for non-union folks. We have the grant for unsheltered. That is going to be significant, and we have the increase in public safety funding. Those are three things, and they can all drain from the same fund that, unfortunately, COPA draws on. And they've done a good job so far. And the art, I think everybody supports them and likes them. At this point in time, the council,
They keep beautifying our area, our downtown. We certainly appreciate that, but at the same time, it costs money.
Yeah, and not a lot of money, but it does cost money. So it's kind of a statement to everybody, not just them, that we got to focus on our priorities here and pay attention as we move forward. And it's a positive thing, but then you don't always get what you want. Rob told me the other day, and it was interesting. He said, you know, most of the people that come before city council, you know what they want?
Money.
Money.
All right, well. To keep the people up to date, if they weren't aware that the Committee on Public Art was requesting, I think, about $15,000 execute a mural in one of the alleys downtown.
Correct. Correct. And there may be other ways to fund that. It doesn't have to be your tax dollars that fund that. It can be funded through other ways that doesn't involve local government. So it doesn't mean it won't be done. It just means that we're focusing on the three priorities that I just mentioned.
All right. That focus, you're focusing on those things. So how much time does that leave you for everything else, the daily works of your council?
So I've learned a long time ago delegation is really important because you need to do everything, honestly. You can prioritize it, but so one of the things that is very important, and it's part of the prong of dealing with the unsheltered also, and other our young people as well, is economic development. And we need to continue to make progress in that arena. We've made some progress. We got Spalding. We got some help with the urban renewal area and urban renewal dollars. We got some of that coming up on our agenda to keep existing businesses healthy, keep our downtown vibrant. But economic development is another focus that you don't really want to put on the back burner either, because it affects everything we do. And if you know those marbles, remember marbles?
Yes.
Yes. If you don't make marbles, and all you do is take marbles from other people, that doesn't work very long. So
Just add to that a little bit, you ask, okay, so what, can we take care of, you might call it the day-to-day, but there's also things that are part of the day-to-day that are really looking long-term, like Wednesday night we're going to be voting on a waiver for the system development charges for the Mid-Rogue Foundation, the Veterans Village on Hillcrest. And so, there we've got a situation where we've got housing for veterans and their families. We've got hopefully, and it's for low-income veterans and their families. So again, that plays into part of what Joel was saying as far as working on that prong of trying to prevent homelessness. So that's part of our routine, but it also is part of the overall. So, and yesterday, we were pretty much willing to take whatever time we needed to do to get through it all. So, the council and staff are putting in a lot of time at some of these meetings, but so while we're taking care of high level, really major things, we're also taking care of things that may seem more like a rubber stamp, but they are part of the overall requirement, really.
A good example is our rating for fire protection affects everybody's fire insurance. Hmm. And so as we upgrade the fire department and emergency services, it should keep fire insurance rates reasonable, more reasonable, unlike what has happened in the county or Northern California, where they even stopped offering it. So we need to pay attention to those kind of things, and that plays into economic development as well.
Yeah, we were told yesterday by the fire chief, and I haven't had a chance to verify this, but I have no reason to think it's not accurate, that if by upgrading the manpower of our fire department, it's likely that residential fire insurance could go down by 4.5%, and commercial could go down by 8.5% by upgrading and bringing our fire protection into kind of the top tier. So that would be incredible for everybody, I think. And I assume that that's true. He presented it as a absolutely an ironclad fact, and it was really great news to me.
Well, at a minimum, too, that they will insure you.
First of all, that you can get the insurance, and yes, that it might be a little less expensive than it has been last year. So we'll cross our fingers for that to happen. But in terms of economic development and housing, we're making some progress on the housing front, are we not? There's a low-income development up on Ramsey Avenue that ground has been broken for. Do we have an update on that situation yet?
You know, I haven't heard one recently, but it's progressing. We did have a report, what, 3 months ago or 2 months ago, where they were breaking ground. Our housing person, staff for the city, gave us a report. I don't have those figures with me. I can get you a copy. But we have made significant progress in the number of units of housing.
And, you know, to answer that question also, Chuck, just to add to it, the project that you mentioned, Ramsey in Nebraska there, that's been 5 years in the making.
Yeah,
I mean, it went out for RFP or went out for all these different bids, and the city came up, I believe, with a choice, and that outfit backed out. So, you know, it's not they don't just pop up overnight.
Yeah,
that's a 5-year deal.
Financing that development was the real problem, wasn't it?
Yeah, finding someone that could tie all that together competently and had the experience to do that. But that's one that we're going to be, you know, I would imagine just by looking at it, maybe by the end of the year there'll be people living there. So,
well, the other thing that comes to mind, and it's just one of many, is Allendale. The development out of Allendale that has single-family homes, multi-unit homes. The other thing is we got some private sector folks. The house next door to me, the guy had some financial difficulty, lost the house. One of the local churches took it over, and they redid the house. They're going to build another unit in the back, and they're going to have two houses with two people living on it or two families. Which is a tremendous thing of existing housing. It doesn't decay.
Now, is that another full structure, or is it an accessory dwelling?
It's another full structure. And that's next door to me, and the city didn't have anything to do with it. The private sector had something to do, and that's ongoing. That's not the only house that's happened. So both government and private folks are making progress, and the private sector is doing well.
Let's talk about city property. And for the one that comes to mind is the old hospital property at Midland and Washington.
County. Mm-hmm. County.
That's county?
No.
That's city.
And that's the right across from where you used to work, Joel.
That hospital. I thought you were talking about the other
No, hospital. Not the one up on Demick. We're talking about on Washington and Midland. That big lot there.
It's a big project. I'll let Rob.
Yeah. Well, we had that's also been, you know, kind of years in the. We've had our eye on that for years, and we did have a meeting on that probably around a month ago to take the next step, which we felt was to hire a consultant because this is a very large project. It's, you know. It's what, 4 or 5 acres or more, and it actually lots of different parcels are contained within that. But my hope has been for years, and I think the council at some point is believing, whether it's even if it's mixed use, it could be retail on ground floors, it could be housing upstairs. But we're hoping that we get some middle housing up there and lots of it. And that's kind of the intent when we bought that property, to turn it into some level of housing. And I don't personally necessarily want to see the lowest of low-income housing. I'd like to see something more attractive and something that fits in with that neighborhood a little more.
Workforce.
But workforce housing. But that's going to be a minimum of a couple of years till we see any housing there. But we did take the next step about a month ago, which is giving the staff the go-ahead to search for a specific consultant. That
so
will
we,
help d-
we don't have a consultant on that yet. We're looking for one?
Exactly.
The other thing that's going to happen there is a nonprofit owned that land, and now it's going to be turned over, and it's going to be on the tax rolls. So the development will be on the tax rolls.
As soon as the development is
correct.
So basically the land is for sale and the developer will buy the land. Is that the way it's going to work, or are we going to?
Yet to be determined, but it'll be a government-private enterprise partnership with emphasis on the private doing the work. And
Public-private.
Yeah.
And we purchased
and we'll
it.
And we'll incentivize it.
Sorry, Joel. Yeah, and the council purchased it so that we could have really good input and really good direction and be able to direct and choose which private sector idea we believe fits in with what our town needs.
And the neighborhood.
And the neighborhood, absolutely.
All right, so we're still waiting for a consultant to be chosen and get back to the council on that one right now.
It's exciting.
Yeah, well, that would be because that line has been vacant for a long time. In the meantime, though, you're listening to KAJO, Grants Pass, Oregon, AM 1270. I have a very special commercial coming up for you right here on KAJO Radio. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Final segment here of the Tuesday Talk Show. We've got about 3 minutes of time left here with our city councilors. We've covered an awful lot of material today. Joel, let's start with you. What do people need to take away from today's program?
Well, I'd like to go back and reemphasize the four forks for dealing with the unsheltered, because that's kind of the hot topic at this point in time. And those four forks are housing, economic development, so there's jobs and we're producing more marbles, accountability, so that people who are treating each other with respect are not punished, and people who don't treat each other with respect have some consequences, and then a safety net that's effective and involves nonprofits and local enterprises, that functions well. So housing, economic development, accountability, and safety net. And those four things are the bigger picture that is going to help Grants Pass develop. And I also want to say then, as we do these things, that the future is bright. You may not look at it as you drive down 6th Street, but that's just a point in time. We have a plan. It's a good plan. It's going to work. If we need to change it, we will. We'll monitor it. And it'll be a different place in the future than it is today.
All right. I'm going to give some time here to Rob. But first of all, I want to point out that each of these counselors brought in, I believe that's a packet for tomorrow night's meeting. It's about an inch and a half thick. So lots of reading. And Joel's also got a three-ring binder that is about 3 inches thick. So, gentlemen, you certainly have your work cut out for you. All right. Final words today. Rob.
Yeah, I'd like to basically agree with everything Joel just said. And, you know, it goes back 7 years that we've been dealing with the homeless issues from on the legal side of it. That's 2018 is when our first court case kind of went against us. And frankly, for many of those years, nobody saw any light at the end of the tunnel, really. But I think now we have, there is reason to be hopeful. And I think that we are finally starting to possibly move to a place where we may have a managed campground, which hopefully will contribute to a solution, along with possibly a municipal court and a little more funding for our police.
All right, gentlemen, thank you very much. Appreciate your work for the Grants Pass City Council. And to all of you, we thank you for your ears today. You've been listening to Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio, and I invite you to stay tuned for the musical stylings of Alex Bauer right here on KAJO Radio.